they're able to promote practical tips, but really get into the emotion of things. And me, podcasting, that's the beauty of podcasting, is connecting with people on an emotional level. And if a podcaster host wants to be successful, I believe you have to do both things. It can't be totally all woo-woo. It has to be matched with some practical, specific tips that people can take away.
Welcome to the Podcast Ally Podcast. I'm Dr. Sarah Globa, keynote speaker and workshop facilitator, and I am on a mission to find out how to be the best podcast guest. So I'm talking with hosts, people who have been guests on hundreds of podcasts, and podcast network executives, so I can learn the good and bad, what works and what doesn't, how I can build my brand through podcast guesting. With me today, I'm so excited, is Marla Isaacson, founder and chairman of ASA, a network of about 2,000 women-led podcasts. Her goals are to reach female audiences in the right moment and make podcast advertising easy. Marla, welcome to the show. We're so excited to have you.
So excited to be here. I really appreciate the invitation, Sarah. Thank you.
Absolutely. I can't wait to hear. I mean, you've worked with so many amazing podcasters. You've been a podcast host. You've done so much in this space. So I can't wait to learn from you. But one of the things we like to start every episode with is this fun question of, what's your worst podcast experience? Can you give us a story of something that maybe didn't go well?
Yeah, this was a little sad, I have to admit. But when I started Mind of a Mentor, which is my podcast, the original format was to have people tell their heroic journey, and got some amazing content. And then I started to interview a woman who used the interview as a therapy session. And she went on and talked about her journey and talked about like really, really terrible things that happened in her life. I didn't have the heart to stop her. So this conversation went on for an hour and a half. I knew I was never going to publish it. In fact, at the end, she said, oh, this feels so good, but don't publish it. I said, that's totally fine. So sometimes you just have to go with your instinct. And I think it would have been really unfortunate if I had said, you know, hey, this is not a therapy session, or hey, I thank you for that information. Let's move on. It just would not have been a good human thing. So I would say that was not a great experience, but something that I learned from.
I can completely understand. And I love what you said about acting as a human in that moment. If you had interrupted this person and said, you know, I feel like this is sounding a bit like a therapy session, can we pivot? I wonder what that would have turned into. I can imagine her kind of shutting down, feeling a bit embarrassed. I don't imagine that you would have gotten some great content after that. And so instead you let it play out, and then it didn't end up being an episode that you could use, but that connection was saved.
I thought that was important. I really did. And to me, this is part of the beauty of podcasting, which is a human connection. It's the conversations that we have. And some conversations are amazing and some conversations are not amazing. So as a podcast host, you need to figure out, you know, how to pivot and work with what you have. So that's what I did.
How to pivot and work with what you have. That might be our theme here, because I'd love to hear from you some ideas on how we can have that pivot mindset, that focus on establishing this human connection. That's what podcasting is for, right? So as we dive into this, I mentioned at the top that ASA works with about 2,000 podcasters. It's just amazing. So I'd love to hear a bit more from you about what podcasters want from their guests. So thinking about this idea of the qualities that make a guest stand out and kind of resonate with hosts and with audiences, what comes to mind for you?
I think there are a few things. First of all, the guest needs to be prepared, which means that they should listen to at least one or two episodes prior to recording, just to get a sense of the cadence of the conversation and the focus. I think that's really important, so that when the guest comes to the conversation, the expectations are aligned. So to me, that's really, really important. I also think it's important for guests to be concise, because as podcast hosts and producers, we're always looking for that lovely soundbite or sentence that really will resonate with people. And sometimes it's really hard to stop someone when they're, you know, they're on a tear. So I think guests should be very mindful of pacing themselves, cadence, especially when you're in a situation where you're being, you know, video, looking at the host and just, you know, paying attention to those verbal and nonverbal cues, which is the host saying, okay, great, now let's move on. To me, that's really, really important. I also think that the podcast guest needs to be very mindful of the audience. So in some situations, it's totally fine to be a little raunchy because that's the vibe of the podcast. In some situations, it is absolutely not fine. So basically, know the audience. That to me is super important. So I'd say those are really my top three. Now, I would say one other thing, which is a podcast guest, in my opinion, should go in wanting to have a good time. Just really wanting to have
fun.
Wanting
to have a good time. Oh, yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's important because that sort of just calms everyone down. Because look, there's a natural inclination to be a little nervous. But if you go in saying, you know what, we're just going to have fun here, I think that makes all the difference in the world.
I love that. Is there anything you do to remember that mindset just as you're maybe sitting down? I mean, because you do come across as somebody who seems to just enjoy, as I've listened to you and seen you on video, you come across as someone who enjoys being in the conversation. So any words of advice of anything you do to kind of get into that mindset?
Yeah. So I think there's one really important rule that I have communicated to our creators, which is, when you are recording a podcast, it's a conversation. It's not an interrogation. That to me is the most important thing, because a conversation means an exchange of ideas and listening to what the other person is saying and responding back versus having a list of questions that you know you have to get out there. Now, I have to admit, the first couple of podcasts I did was an interrogation because I was scared to death. But as you get more experienced, the beauty of doing a podcast between a guest and a host is just the back and forth, of the conversation and the cadence.
Yeah, kind of back to that human element that we talked about at the top. And it's a way to make sure that human element comes into play is making sure it feels like a conversation that
exactly.
We're enjoying. Oh, I love that. I also want to ask you about this idea when you mentioned being concise. So out of your four tips, and I love this, be prepared, be concise, be mindful of the audience, and remember that it's a conversation and not an interrogation. I love this. We've got our podcast four commandments from the Marla Isaacson. I could see making a poster out of this.
Thank you.
But for this idea of being more concise, this is something that I feel like I struggle with. I have a background in teaching. I want to make sure people understand my point. And so sometimes I think I can overdo it. I can go on for a bit too long. What are some things that, for those of us who are getting into podcast guesting, what are some things we can do to try and remember this point about being concise, or even to try to practice it, or ways that we can prepare for that? How have you seen folks evolve over time and get better at that challenge of being concise?
So I think you hit upon it, which is to practice. So we all have friends and relatives that we can lean on, and just lean on them to practice the conversation and, you know, set up the format as a real podcast, but ask them to give you feedback in terms of, how am I answering the question? How does it sound? Am I saying too much? Am I saying too little? You're going to get better by practicing. And a good place to start is to start with friends and relatives that will actually give you really specific feedback. And again, it just evolves over time. Sometimes it just takes time.
Do you recommend, for folks who are newer, what about recording and listening to yourself? So I ask because I know a lot of people will say, oh, I don't like to listen to myself. I don't like to hear my own voice. But I'm wondering if, when you're practicing with friends or with family or trying out some stories, do you recommend recording yourself and listening to that? Or have you found that to be helpful?
You know, I think that's a great suggestion. I never did that, but I like that suggestion a lot. I think that would have helped a lot. You know, what we talk about is, it's not the same, but someone who says, I want to start a podcast, we say to them, record 10 episodes, then listen to them, and then decide if you want to stick with it, because it's a lot of work. But I like your idea. That's a good one.
If you think you want to start a podcast, record 10 episodes and then listen to that. You know what that reminds me of? I had, I think it was a teacher once where somebody was talking about getting a tattoo. And the teacher said, you should wake up every morning and draw it onto your arm.
Wow.
And if there's ever a morning you get tired of doing it, then you shouldn't get that tattoo. And I just remembered that as such a neat way of trying to make that decision of do I want this kind of permanently.
I love that.
And so what you're suggesting is, try this 10 times and then listen to it and ask yourself, is this something I want to continue doing? It really flips that. We hear all the time, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? And instead of that, it's, what would you do if you were sure you wouldn't get sick of it? If you cared about it even after 10 really difficult tries? That's so great. The 10 test, I'm going to call it.
Right. As you know, as we all know, this is not easy. You know, you have to really like to do this. So podcasting is fun, but it does take a commitment. So I think people need to be able to understand if they want to make that commitment or not.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Okay, so we've talked about, we have our podcast four commandments of things to do, being prepared, being concise, being mindful of the audience, treating it like a conversation and not an interrogation. And maybe we'll even add this fifth one of practicing in whatever format that looks like, whether it's practicing on a real podcast or in a conversation with your friends. Online with that, what about complaints? So we've heard a couple things that we should do. Do you hear any complaints from podcast hosts that you've worked with, or have you seen anything that you would say, here's some things that you maybe shouldn't do? What are some of the complaints that you might hear from podcasters about their guests?
Well, what we hear, a couple of things. Number one is when a guest comes on and is truly incredibly not prepared. When a guest is not mindful of the host's time, being late. I mean, just, you know, there's etiquette. There's certain things, rules that you have to follow, which is show up when you're supposed to show up. Listen to the questions being asked. Don't be rude. I mean, it's stuff like that. That's really, it's just incredible. But that's some of the complaints we hear. It almost sounds like a host is feeling that there's a complete misalignment. Like that it's like, wait a minute, I thought this person was going to talk about X, and what is this person talking about? This is not what we decided. That's a real problem, and that does happen. And that's a big challenge.
Oh, I bet. And so your tip about being prepared and your tip about being mindful of the audience, it can help avoid this misalignment. Because at the end of the day, if you think about your body of work, it's really about adapting that to the specific podcast theme, to the specific podcast or that specific episode. And doing that work ahead of time, it sounds like, is really important. Really understanding why you're there, why you're in the podcast seat for that episode.
And I also think it's incumbent upon the podcast host to help prep their guests. So whatever that may look like, which is sending out a brief summation of what the podcast is about. I don't typically do this, but sometimes giving an overview of the kind of questions that are going to be asked, not necessarily the specific questions that are going to be asked. Podcast hosts may also include do's and don'ts, like don't say that, or you can say this. So I think it's really a two-way street. I think a podcast host needs to help prep the podcast guest, and the guest needs to follow the prep that was, you know, orchestrated by the podcast host.
That's really helpful. And so if I'm going to be a podcast guest, do you think it would be appropriate if I didn't receive some of that information from the host to ask for it? So for example, if I was feeling a bit nervous about joining a podcast and the podcast episode was set up, I've agreed to do it, but I'd love to have some more information about the topic or the kinds of questions or do's and don'ts. Do you feel it's appropriate as a guest for me to reach out if I haven't heard that?
Absolutely. Because what that would show to me as a host is that the guest is really interested in doing a good job. And that would be a great sign for me to see. Now, that would also prompt me to say, gee, maybe I should be doing a better job of prepping my guests. But I think it's a great idea if a guest is feeling uncomfortable to go out and ask the questions and just get clarification, whatever it will do that will help make the guest feel like less anxious about the conversation.
Because then going back to your tip about, you know, it's about human connection. So if that helps you feel less anxious and helps you show up more authentically, that's so great. Can I also point out a lot of the tips that you shared, you kind of joked, you know, it's about etiquette. These are things that you do just as a professional. You don't show up late. You show up prepared. You try your best not to be rude or to say things that are inappropriate. I find that to be really encouraging and inspiring as somebody who might be trying to get into the space, somebody who might be trying to podcast guest for the first time. They might feel like they don't have a lot of experience. They're too new. They're not a podcaster, is maybe what they're thinking. But they actually, as a professional, just as a person who cares about their work, they actually do have some preparation because some of the things that they've done to prepare as a professional will help them in podcasting.
Exactly. Absolutely. No, I agree with what you're saying for sure.
That's really inspiring. And hopefully that helps a couple people who are thinking about podcast guesting to think, okay, maybe I do have some stuff that'll help me out with this.
Yeah. And I think part of, in a way to help maximize success is for the podcast guest to go in there feeling like, hey, this is super exciting. Like, this is a real opportunity for me. So obviously thanking the host, but also viewing it as an opportunity to support the host, but also to communicate whatever message you want to communicate. So take it seriously. I mean, it's an opportunity for a guest.
I love that. So many great mindset tips from you, Marla. This idea of looking at it as something exciting, looking at it as an opportunity. I loved what you said a minute ago of just go in wanting to have a good time. So many helpful mindset ideas here. This is great. Okay, I want to switch gears a little bit and think about the podcast host and some challenges that the host might have in regard to finding guests. So with your experience working with so many different podcast folks, do you find that podcasters sometimes have trouble finding the right guests? And thinking from kind of our perspective as the audience, if we want to be guests, how can we become the right guest? How can we make it easy for podcasters? So what are the challenges for podcast hosts and how can we kind of use those challenges to become the right guest?
Well, I think a few things. One is sometimes a challenge of finding guests. So in terms of finding guests, the best place to start is through referrals, for sure. So if you know you want to interview someone with a specific expertise, see if you can find someone that you know who can make recommendations as to those guests that they think would be appropriate. To me, that's super important. So that's one thing. Obviously, Google, LinkedIn. There are also companies like Podmatch, which is a great company that really will help match you with match podcasters and guests. It's a super company. Like, the guy's great, Alex. I think he's a wonderful guy. And for those people who don't have a huge staff, finding solutions like Podmatch to me is super helpful. To me, it's all about you can't do it yourself and it's okay to ask for help. So I would say if you are really hitting a brick wall in terms of no one's referring anyone to me, I'm not finding anyone on Google or LinkedIn, doesn't feel right to me, then use a service like Podmatch. I think that would be very helpful.
And that's, as somebody who's thinking about trying to be a guest on more podcasts, hearing that hosts are having a challenge finding the right people, that, you know, turning to Google and turning to referrals might still not be enough and that they're having to use services like Podmatch to find people, I think that signals a huge opportunity for folks who are thinking about being podcast guests. This idea that, hey, podcast hosts are out looking for you. When they find you, you're helping to solve a problem for them. They want to find the right guests. And so I think getting really clear about what you can bring to a podcast guest, making sure folks in your network know that that's your expertise so they can potentially refer you. Of course, if you're trying to step up your game using Podcast Ally to try to connect to some of these opportunities, or just tuning into this podcast for ideas.
Right, exactly.
But I think the best part of what you're sharing is for folks who are thinking about being guests, knowing that podcast hosts are looking for you. You are solving a problem when you connect with them. That is so huge. And so as somebody who's working on trying to be a guest on more podcasts, what are some tips that you might share about how they can help solve that challenge and connect with these hosts?
So I think it's really important to have a media kit. If you really want to be a guest, you need to tell the world that you want to be a guest. And it's similar as to telling the world you want to be a speaker. So you need to have a media kit. You need to pay attention to keywords, because SEO is important, especially if people are looking for you on Google. So sprinkle appropriate keywords into your media kit. To me, that's huge. That to me is super important. And it also shows a level of professionalism. I think it's also good if you have a website that talks more about you. So someone, a host can go on your website and look at the About Me section and get a sense of who is this person? What does he or she stand for? What's her focus? That helps as well. So take it seriously. If you really want to be a guest, you need to be prepared. Set up the infrastructure that will enable you to be selected for guest spots.
Mm-hmm. And part of that, you said, is really just raising your hand. I love this idea of if you want to be a guest, you need to tell people that you want to be a guest. And I have to tell you, Marla, like almost embarrassingly, it took me way too long to learn this lesson. And I think it's because I grew up with the Hermione Grangers of the world, for any Harry Potter fans, like the, if you study really hard, keep your head down, get those good grades, then you're going to be noticed and rewarded for that. And the opportunities will come. And that's just not, it's just not true. You have to be the one to say, no, I want this thing. And I remember it was a couple of years ago when I put myself out there and said, I'm a speaker. I would like to do more keynotes and workshops. Here's what I speak about. And it felt really awkward in the beginning when I started doing that. But what I found was people were really grateful. They liked that I was so direct about the problems that I could help solve for them. And so that's what you're talking about here. If you could be a potential podcast guest talking about your expertise, that's solving a problem. So tell the world that you're interested in doing that and that you'd like to do that.
And I also think that leveraging that advice is important when you want to get a podcast host wants to get more listeners. You have to use similar types of strategies. Mm. As we say, it's not a field of dreams. You have to actually tell people what you're doing. So I think it's, you know, same in both instances, which I want to be a guest or I want to get more listeners. Well, no one's going to know that unless you tell them.
No one's going to know that unless you tell them. Field of dreams is build it and they will come. All I have to do is build something great. And the listeners, the guests, whatever it is, the accolades, all of it, it'll come as long as I do something great, as long as I build something great. And that's just not true. We have to let people know what it is we're looking for, what it is we're seeking.
Right. It's sad, but you kind of have to do that work.
As great as we all might think we are, I talked about this with a student the other day. We were talking about applying for something, and it was more of an award, and the student felt really awkward about self-nominating and was like, well, if I deserve it, won't someone else nominate me? And so I said to the student, when is the last time you sat and thought, you know what, I should really nominate XYZ person for an award? Like, when is the, even though you probably have people in your network who you really admire, you like the work that they're doing, when's the last time you randomly thought, I'm going to go nominate them for an award? People are not, even if they like you and like your work, they're not sitting around thinking, oh, I've got to go amplify this for this person. So it really is important that you're doing that for yourself.
And I think, look, I think to some extent, we all, or most of us, sort of have this imposter syndrome thing going on. But, and that's okay. That's a little understandable human nature wise, but that's not going to help you grow your business. So you kind of have to get over it and make a decision, which is I want to be out there and be a guest on a lot of podcasts. You have to put a stake in the ground and say, this is what I want. And this is what I'm going to do to get there. And I think it's the same thing when you're a podcast host trying to go your podcast. It's the same thing. It's just making that decision that you really want it and then figuring out how to get there. Like, get over the imposter syndrome or the anxiety. Forget it. You know, this is your goal. This is your goal.
Yeah. There was a story going around, I think it was Instagram the other day, mm-hmm. where there was a little girl who was scared to jump in the pool, and the dad is right there. And the dad is like, I'm going to catch you. And the little girl says, but I'm scared. And this goes on for a few minutes. And then this older woman swims by as the little girl says, but I'm scared. And the older woman looks at her and says, you can do it anyway. And the little girl goes, oh, as if it didn't occur to her that she could be scared and jump. She didn't have to get over being scared of it.
Right.
She could jump anyway. And of course that went around Instagram because it was so relatable. But it's right. It's this idea
that
yes, imposter syndrome, it is part of human nature. And right. I love what you're saying here. You're not saying, you know, don't have it, or you're just saying, do it anyway. Put that stake in the ground.
Yep. It's, what is it, Nike? Just do it. I mean, that's that philosophy.
And you said, this is what I want, and this is how I'm going to go after it. I love that.
I don't want to minimize how challenging that could be for people, but it's a decision that you have to make. Are you in or are you not in? And make that decision.
I love this. I really wish I could go back in time and just share this with Sarah from 15 years ago. This was so helpful, Marla. I love it so much. So I do want to hear, since we've got a chance to have you on the podcast, I'd love to hear more about what Asa does. Can you just tell us a little bit more about, just as the founder, I know that y'all have had some big changes recently. You work with so many amazing podcasts. Can you tell listeners a bit more about founding Asa and what Asa does?
So we have evolved, which has been such a joy, so much fun. So a couple of things. So first of all, yes, we have just about 2,000 podcasters. Our focus is to reach untapped audiences, so women, underrepresented audiences. That, to me, has sort of, that's how our focus has evolved. So we do have male podcasters, male hosts on our network, but they fit our profile of enabling advertisers to find people, audiences that they may not have spoken to before. So that, to me, is super important. So that's one thing. The other thing is, about 2 years ago, a key focus of Asa is monetization. And that's what we're here for. We really believe that it's really important to help those podcasters who want to monetize. We want to help them monetize. Because I always believe that true empowerment is financial empowerment. So that's been the core of Asa. So we spent many years working with brands, connecting them with appropriate podcasts, using spreadsheets. I call it our scotch tape and paperclip phase, to a point where it got a little crazy. And we realized, I made the decision to automate the solution. So we've come up with a very cool platform. We're essentially now a tech company, and we have technology that enables a advertiser to run a campaign from beginning to end seamlessly using the technology. So what may have taken us weeks to do, we can do in a day or so. So to me, that was really important, which is showing people that this can be done efficiently. Because again, it's about financial empowerment. So I want more people to be able to make money. So what we're doing now is we're taking this technology, we're licensing the technology. So it's a SaaS product now. And we are launching our first SaaS customer, Coulter Media. They're amazing. And we've given them an opportunity to get going really fast, get podcasters on their network, and to make money as quickly as possible. So that's really what we're about. So that's been a epic change, huge change. A lot of time, money.
I mean, it sounds epic. What I love about it is I still hear your mission in it. When you talk mm-hmm. about Asa and how Asa had this idea of connecting to underrepresented audience groups, helping podcasts who are hosted by underrepresented groups. Mm-hmm. And then your idea of true empowerment is financial empowerment. So this connection to monetization mm-hmm. is not just about the business side of podcasting, but about how podcasting can be an empowering tool. And in exactly. order to do that, it often has to have that financial side. Wow. And then turning it into a SaaS platform. Incredible. I mean, just, I can't wait to read the Asa book about how this all came to be and what that looked like yeah. behind the scenes.
The book will be like what to do and what absolutely not to do. But it's been a fun journey.
Well, and your phrase of scotch tape and paperclip phase, I'm taking that with me and I will credit you, Marla. But what a cool way to describe when you're first starting out, as entrepreneurs say, that MVP or minimum viable product, when you're really testing your solution, the scotch tape and paperclip phase.
That's essentially what it was. Everything was manual. And you know, when you do everything manually, there's a good chance that things are going to get messed up. So as we realized that we wanted to push this concept forward, we had to automate and make this a much more professional platform. So we're excited about it. I'm excited to offer it to people in the industry who would like a turnkey solution for their businesses. So this is appropriate for networks, for agencies who, you know, may have tons of podcasters on their appropriate network, or they may be working with a lot of podcasters via an agency, but they're still doing things in a very old-fashioned manual way. What we're saying is, we've got a solution for you.
Wow. So cool. Well, congratulations on all that. And thank you for sharing a bit more about it and being willing to share some of the behind the scenes. Just thinking about all the podcasts that you've seen, I want to ask you one more question. This is kind of a fun one. This idea of how a podcast episode, a single episode, can change someone's life. So have you seen an example? We love to ask all of our guests this, since most of our guests are big fans of podcasting as a medium. How have you seen a podcast episode change someone's career, someone's work, someone's life?
So there is a podcast that I like. I'm going to try to get her on our network. She's not there yet, but I listen to her when I need a little pick-me-up, when I need inspiration. And I love the way she structures her podcast. It's, you know, 10 tips, 5 tips, focused on both areas that are very practical, like 10 tips to make a better dinner or something. But then it's more emotional stuff, like 10 tips to get out of bed, you know, on a day you don't want to get out of bed. So the point of that podcast for me and why it's so important to me is that it touches two things, both practical tips and emotional. And that's the way I like to think about things. So to me, that's why it grabs me, gets me, my heart, and it gets me really thinking. But it also gives me some really specific things to do, like, oh, I didn't know I should use that kind of like salt. That's a cool idea. So to me, it's such a great podcast. I'll say what it is. It's called The Simple Sophisticate. I love it. It's just very, puts you in a whole different mindset. And as I said, I want her on my network. And we have a lot of podcasts on Asa as well that do the same thing, where they're able to promote practical tips, but really get into the emotion of things. And me, podcasting, that's the beauty of podcasting, is connecting with people on an emotional level. And if a podcaster host wants to be successful, I believe you have to do both things. It can't be totally all woo-woo. It has to be matched with some practical, specific tips that people can take away. So that's what I would say.
Wow. I feel like you just gift-wrapped and tied a bow around this episode, because when we started at the top, you told us a story about one of the worst podcast experiences you had, where somebody tipped the scale a bit too far, you know, over here, where it was almost all emotion. It sounds like it was a lot of raw emotion. It wasn't processed enough for this person to have some distance from it. And then you're also right now talking about podcasts that maybe don't have any of the emotion, and they're just all over here with the practical, the how-to. And the beauty of podcasting, as we hear it described from Marla, is when it's got a mix, when it's got both the practical and the emotion, the head and the heart, which I think comes back to this idea that you've shared with us multiple times, which is it needs to be human. It needs to be a connection, and that's the beauty and the balance. And so as a guest, I'm taking this with me of, you know, when I'm showing up to join a podcast, how can I bring both the head side and the heart side, some stories, some emotion, but also some practical tips and takeaways. So helpful. Yeah.
Thank you. And I think that this can be done even with the most technical science podcasts by inserting a little bit of humor where appropriate. Just listening to really dry content is not fun at all. And the message is not going to resonate. So just being able to do both to me is the winning combination.
Being able to do both is the winning combination. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it. Such a great episode. So many takeaways. You brought the head and the heart. You brought us both today. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
How can our listeners who want to stay in touch and hear more from Marla or hear more about Asa, how can they stay in touch? How can they learn more?
Sure. So feel free to contact me directly, Marla@asacollective.com, OSSA collective.com. Go on our website, asacollective.com. Check us out. Connect with us there. Yeah, we love to talk to people. Anything we can do to help creators be more successful as either hosts or guests, happy to share whatever tips we may have. We also do a lot of programming. We do a lot of virtual series on various topics. We're doing a series for advertisers who want to get into podcasters. We're doing a series for podcasters who want to be better podcasters. So we try to do that as well. So just put our name in Google and you'll see a whole lot of stuff.
Marla from ASA. And again, that's OSSA.
Yeah. Marla@asacollective.com. If you put in ASA, you're not going to get us. You're going to get a Swedish motorcycle company.
Which, I mean, there might be a time and place for that, but I'm hoping people can connect with Marla and then look up your Swedish motorcycles. Marla, thank you so much for joining us. This was such a breath of fresh air and a really helpful mindset framing on podcasting. And I also want to thank all of our listeners who tuned in for this episode. If this content was helpful for you at all, be sure to follow us on any podcast app or check us out on YouTube. You can find us on social media @podcastally. And if you're looking to be a guest on more podcasts, you can grow your brand, learn more about that at podcastally.com. I'm Dr. Sarah Glova. I'd love for you to follow me on LinkedIn as well, or you can visit saraglova.com, and we'll see you again soon on a Podcast Ally podcast. Thank you, Marla.
Thank you.